What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
Aww. Y'all are incredible. Y'all look good tonight. Hey. Man, the waters are stirring, amen? So proud of all of you who made that declaration of faith publicly. God is going to reward you for that. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so there's a reward quickly coming your way. There's breakthrough coming for those of you who just obeyed. Because obedience unlocks the supernatural, amen? I don't know about you, but I came tonight not to have religion. I came to be with God. I came tonight not to go through the motion. I came to encounter the presence of God. And I'm ready for something to happen in my life. I love you with all my heart. Jubilee and I love to be your pastors. And I hope you came expecting something powerful to happen tonight. Expectation precedes the supernatural. You get what you expect many times. So I hope that right now in this moment you start expecting. Amen? 2 Timothy verse chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said to his pupil, he said, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." He said, "Stir up the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of hands." And I've come tonight to stir somebody up. There is a gift of heaven in your life, and he wants to stir it up in you. He wants to do something powerful. Maybe you'll respond to this altar and we'll lay hands on you and you'll feel something powerful because there is an exchange that happens. It's a stirring of the Spirit and God wants to do it tonight. You ready? Tonight I'm praying God will stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit in a powerful and life-changing way. Let's bow our hearts and heads and pray. Father, I thank you so much for each person in this room. God, I thank you that you love them so much more than even I do. God, I thank you that your love is unconditional, and God, that your power is a gift. It's not something we earn. God, I thank you that you purchased the power of the Holy Spirit on Calvary's cross, and that it's available to all who believe. So, God, I pray that you would unlock faith, that you would unlock belief right now. God, if anyone is uncomfortable about talking about the power of God, I pray that the peace of God that transcends understanding would begin to rest on their hearts and on their minds. God, if there's anyone that is hard or calloused, maybe the Holy Spirit has been abused in some way, shape, or form in their past. God, tonight is not that night. God, give them a soft heart for your presence. And God, may your word transform us in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, if you are a guest tonight, I am so glad you came. My name's Jonathan, and I hope to get to know you as soon as possible. You come next week, you're family. That's our mantra. That's what we believe. First time you're a guest, and next time you come, you are family, and that's what we want you to be. So welcome tonight. I want to share just about one of the first arguments or maybe we'll call it passionate disagreements maybe that I had with my wife, who's on the front row, which makes me a little bit nervous right now. Jubilee and I got married young. We got married on her 20th birthday, and we were in college, and Jubilee and I, when we first got married, we had a fight over food, okay? How many of you like to eat? We got some foodies in the room. So we had a prenuptial agreement. It was fake because we're not really living that kind of life. But a part of our prenup was to not allow one another to get fat. Praise the Lord for that. I said, "Baby, I love you, but you ain't getting fat." No. And she said, "I ain't wanting no gut on my man." So that was a part of the prenuptial agreement. And we were in college. So we were college roommates in the first part of our marriage. So we didn't really cook very often because we didn't have time. We were in school and we were at work. But one of my favorite snacks, and I wonder if I can get a witness tonight, one of my favorite snacks, especially at night, is cereal. Can I get a witness? I love cereal. Any cereal lovers in the house tonight? Can I get some Captain Crunch, please? I love me some Fruit Loops. Fruity Pebbles, I'll take it. Lucky Charms. I'll even take the all-berry Captain Crunch. Whatever, with Crunch Berries, I don't even care. I love cereal. I'm so glad you do too. But here's the reality. It's been from the beginning of our marriage to tonight. I can be a happy man if you give me a healthy-sized bowl of cereal and follow it up with some hot Pop-Tarts. Come on, can I get a witness? Y'all like some Pop-Tarts? I'll take the cinnamon and brown sugar. I'll even take the s'mores Pop-Tarts. Give it to me. I like the cherry. Woo! Pop-Tarts are good. We're talking about Pop-Tarts. Get your mind out the gutter. So one week early in our marriage, Jubilee brought home some cereal, but it was not legit. Instead of Frosted Mini Wheats, it was the Walmart brand Frosted Mini Spooners. What is a spooner? Frosted Mini Spooners. Jubilee was oblivious to the difference between Kellogg's and Great Value. Okay? And so she was oblivious. She said it was the same. Honey, I don't know what you're saying. This is the same. It's the same flavor, but it was cheaper, right? And instead of the name brand Pop-Tarts, she brought into my home some toaster pastries. What in the world is a toaster pastry? I do not know. But I'm here tonight to testify against the knockoff brand that the enemy of our soul is endorsing called toaster pastries. Because toaster pastries taste like cardboard with stale jelly on it. Toaster pastry, and I said, baby, we about to amend our prenuptial agreement. You ain't never gonna buy toaster pastries again. Can I get an amen? Amen? See, Jubilee thought she was doing us a favor, getting us the same product for a cheaper price. But the reality was we were settling for less and paying too much for it because it was disgusting. You can't pay me tonight to eat generic toaster pastries because I am here to say it's not worth it. Immediately, we had to come to an agreement in our house that our standard of living would no longer settle for a counterfeit. Okay? Because even though we had to pay more and the price was more expensive, the price was worth paying. And some of y'all might be feeling where I'm going with this tonight. Can I tell someone tonight that when it comes to walking in the genuine power and freedom of the Holy Spirit, the price is worth the payoff? The price is worth the payoff. Let me explain this. This is week two of our Aftermath series where the promise moves to power in our lives. Jesus gave us a promise that when he left, he would be sending another that would give us power to live this life and power to be men and women who make him known. He said his friend John baptized like we just did in water, but the power of the Holy Spirit would baptize us with fire. He said that it would come with an anointing to do supernatural things. And that anointing is worth paying for. It's worth walking out this Christian lifestyle. It's worth sacrificing a little bit more to walk in the anointing of God. There is a difference between walking in a counterfeit Christianity lifestyle and walking in the anointing of heaven. Last week we talked about how we fear what we don't understand and we're insecure about things that we're incapable of doing in our own strength. We communicated that the Holy Spirit, and I want you to hear it again tonight, the Holy Spirit is not weird. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. Many of us had powerful encounters at this altar with the Holy Spirit, and I'm loving hearing all the testimonies just from last week. My wife, she was oblivious that toaster pastries were a deceptive tool of the enemy. She was oblivious. But tonight, there is a supernatural realm that we are too often oblivious to. There is often a supernatural realm that we don't even realize is taking place. Right now, there is a battle being waged in the heavenlies. Right now, you don't even know what's happening, but heaven and hell are at odds against one another to secure your future or to destroy it. See, we don't see what we don't tap into. We don't see it, so we don't tap into it. The supernatural is real. There's so much in our culture and especially in our entertainment that we consume on a regular basis that desensitizes us to the supernatural. It desensitizes us. My guess is many in this room are excited for Stranger Things to come out in the next couple weeks on Netflix. Yeah, I hear you. Oh, I have heard that some people in this room are even planning scary movie parties to watch. Things like, I don't know what you're going to watch, but things like Paranormal Activity, I don't know why you would want to watch that stuff. It is freaky deaky. Most of us, so how many in the room have seen Avengers Endgame? And this is so incredible. Don't spoil it for those who haven't. Shh. Y'all, stop. You can't spoil it. Many of us have seen the movie. And listen, don't miss this. Because of the cinematic quality, the creativity in the storyline. Guys, we don't even question when Thanos snaps his finger because of six little stones, half of all of life is eradicated. Like, does that really make sense? No. Six stones doesn't give you the power to end all life. It's crazy, but it desensitizes us. So much, we see, hear this tonight, we see so much CGI that is not real, we begin to doubt the reality of the supernatural. Because we see it, it's so fake in front of us, they produce it right in front of us, that we think, oh, well, when something really supernatural happens, it's all fake. When it's not. The exorcism of Emily Rose was based off true accounts because it was an entertaining movie. We devalue and de-emphasize the fact that there really is a spiritual realm that we live in our everyday life. And before I get to God's word tonight, I want to personally testify that I have experienced the promise of God that has turned into power in my life. There has been unexplainable but undeniable powerful encounters that I have had in my life that no one can convince me out of. Guys, tonight I'm here. It may sound strange to some of you and you may think it weird, but I speak in tongues and I function in the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and no one can convince me that it's not real. No one can convince me that it's fake. One time I was in El Salvador and we ministered to some people on the streets, and one of the kids was in a wheelchair. He had physical deformities. He had been born with some form of disease, and he was normal from the waist up, but from the waist down, his legs were shriveled up and were not growing. So he was naturally growing on from his torso up, but his legs weren't growing. So from the moment he was born, he was unable to walk. And we played with the kids. We presented the gospel, and we prayed with them, and it was an incredible moment and time with them, and it was time for our team to leave. And I'll never forget, because a man by the name of Pastor Sam, he was a good friend of mine that was with me on the trip, he stayed beside this little boy in the wheelchair, and he, with tears in his eyes and with a passion in his heart, he looked at me and he said, Pastor, I'm not leaving until God does something. What he's been like this his whole life, but my friend had some faith in him. And he had some passion, and he was hearing from the Lord. And he said, I'm not leaving until God does something. And so in that moment, our team surrounded him, and he led us in prayer. And we were weeping and crying out to God, Lord, do something. This boy needs you to intervene. And it wasn't like this amazing, like all of a sudden he had fully grown legs. But we literally witnessed as a couple inches grew. It was unbelievable because it wasn't a total and complete healing, but it was evident and obvious that God had done something through our prayer. And what took place was that man, that the boy's father had been an atheist his whole life, because how could a good God that loves me treat my son like this? And as soon as that father saw the obvious growth that took place because we said, in the name of Jesus, be made whole, his father got saved, and it caused a ripple effect in his family. They began believing, and I'm believing that God is still, if not already done, healing that little boy. The power of the Holy Spirit is real. In college, I had glasses because I had astigmatism in my eyes. I wore them for a couple years. I legally had to wear glasses to drive because I was so nearsighted, I couldn't see Clayton Shirley in the back of the room. I would just see a big blur. But guess what? I love you, Clay, and I see you good. You looking good tonight, my friend. But here's what happened. I got frustrated with glasses, and I began to fast and pray that God would heal my eyes. And after about 4 months of praying, 4 months of asking, God, I'm sick and tired of this. You've called me to walk with strength. I don't want to be held back. I don't look good in glasses, God. I'm trying to look good, Lord. Trying to be in front of people with these glasses. I can't do this. I have to, hey guys, the word of God says, you know, no offense if you got glasses. I'm not trying to put you down or anything. But today, I'm here to testify. After 4 months of praying, I decided to take a step of faith, and I took my glasses off, and I said, God, I'm not wearing them again. You're going to heal me. And I stepped out in faith, and today, I have been clinically tested, and the power of God has healed my eyes. I can see, and I don't need glasses, and I can easily test for driving because the power of God is real. No one can take that from me. Jesus quoted in Isaiah, I have the anointing of heaven to set blind eyes open, to open blind eyes, to set the captives free. The supernatural is real, and it's available to you and to me. Amen? The context of God's word tonight is this. Oh, one more story. One more. Here, we were in Jamaica, my first missions trip ever. Jamaica me crazy. And we were doing these street outreaches. I was Jesus. I was doing my best human video on the cross. You know, it was also, that was terrible. I'm sorry for that. But we were setting up, putting speakers out for our human video. It was dark. This was a bad street. It was a rough neighborhood. And people were watching us set up. And as soon as we got set up, this guy literally was watching us set up. And he decided to go get in his car and pull right in front where we were going to do our dramatic presentation. He parked his car and walked away. It was straight from the pit of hell. It was an attack to stop us from witnessing to the people on the streets of Jamaica. And our team looked at this man walking away, and he ignored us when we, hey, sir, he just kept walking and disappeared in the dark. And we looked at his car, and we're thinking to ourselves, what do we do now? And somebody had the great idea, let's move the car. Ha. And so a bunch of scrawny high school boys, that was me, we surrounded this car, and I think there was at most six of us. We grabbed at all points of the car, and we literally prayed, and we lifted that joker up, because in our weakness, he reveals himself to be strong in us, and the power of God helped us get the obstacle out of the way so that heaven could intervene, and many people got saved because they first watched faith. They watched Christians functioning in power, because God is real, and the supernatural is real. And he empowers us to do things that we can't do in our own strength. Amen. You can't convince me otherwise, because I've experienced it. The context of God's word tonight is Jesus had risen from the dead. And that's real, by the way. Just a side note, Jesus really did resurrect from the dead. That is totally real. It's not just a fairy tale story. That is reality. He rose from the dead, and he's been alive ever since. He is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for you right now. It's not just a story, it's reality. If we can believe that Jesus is alive, we should be able to believe the Holy Spirit can do impossible things today. He told the disciples, go and make disciples. He commissioned them to heal the sick, to cause the blind to see, to cast out demons, to proclaim the good news that Jesus had risen from the dead and is our salvation. And this is where we pick up in Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 11, it says this. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs, Paul was a baller, even handkerchiefs and clothing articles, aprons that had touched Paul, were taken to the sick people, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. He was so in tune and with the power of the Holy Spirit that he didn't have to be there. He just had to touch something and give it to him. Take this handkerchief, she'll be fine. It was crazy. And I want to stop right there real quick and simply say the supernatural is real. The supernatural is real. Miracles are real. God is still active and at work in our world today. Healing happens because the prayers of the righteous are both powerful and effective. That's what the Word of God says. The promise Jesus made was that nothing would be impossible for those that believe. He gave us the Holy Spirit to move us from promise to power. Amen? My wife had to be delivered when she was saved. I was a witness to her salvation, and they had to take her back into another room because she had to be delivered because she was dabbling in witchcraft. Tonight, it may make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, but the demonic is real. If there is a heaven, there is a hell. In fact, I believe the depression that many of us are facing right now is a demonic force at work in your life. The negative thoughts that are constantly being fed to you, that's from the pit of hell. That's the enemy of your soul whispering into your mind's eye. Sleepless nights are demonic forces trying to rob you of your sleep. Sometimes it's you just making stupid decisions, drinking that Starbucks Frappuccino right before bedtime. I mean, come on, you got to be smart and not blame the devil for everything, because guess what? God's not real, or God's not weird. I'm so sorry. God is not weird. We'll pull that one back. But the demonic really is real. We can't blame the devil for everything that happens, but he is behind a lot of it. I've been in the room when a woman began speaking in a deep pitched man's voice. It was so scary. This was obviously a woman who was speaking in a voice that was not her own. It was a demonic manifestation. It was not pleasant to be around. And even though we do have an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy all that is good in our lives, I want you to be comforted that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We don't need to live in fear, because God gives us power, love, and a sound mind. Now that we are clear that supernatural things do happen on a regular basis, and we don't even realize it all around us, the story continues and goes like this. This is such an interesting story. In verse 13, it goes on, and it says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this, and one day, this would scare me if it happened. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? What would happen if that happened to us? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. And when this became known, the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor, because even the demons knew his name. Many of those who believed now came openly and confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000. In this way, the word of the Lord began to spread widely and grew in power. And tonight, the first truth I believe God wants us to understand is when God has something powerful available to us, the enemy of our soul will produce a counterfeit. When God has something powerful that is available to you and to me, the enemy's going to produce a counterfeit. According to God's word, the tongue has the power of life and death. Your words are powerful. The Bible says that if we can control our tongue, we can steer the direction of our entire life. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, and it's powerful. Why else would the enemy try to destroy our tongue? God knows that out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouth speaks, so he wants to empower our prayer life. There's no coincidence that one of the hardest things for us to do in our culture is control the way we speak. Come on, somebody. It's hard. That was one of the most difficult things when I was in high school because I wanted to speak like everyone else did. And y'all know you walk through the hallway and it is hard not to hear profanity. There's so many profanities. There's even new slang words being produced on the daily to empower us to say things we should never say. Music is so full of profanity, and it's become acceptable. We have become numb to the fact that the devil is trying to get control of your tongue. It's a counterfeit to keep us from experiencing the power and the freedom of a prayer language that is given to you by the Holy Spirit. These men were hearing stories about Jesus' disciples and the anointing that they were walking in. These Jewish priests, they were hearing about Jesus. They were thinking, man, that sounds good. Jesus is getting famous. I want some of that glory. Maybe I'll do what Jesus and his disciples are doing. They wanted some of the glory. They tried to learn, listen to this, a formula. And so they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out to some demonic forces. And they failed. And their failure tonight teaches us that motivation matters when it comes to receiving the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Motivation matters when it comes to receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, the Holy Spirit will not be mocked. He knows the condition of our hearts, and the condition of our hearts matters to God. These people were being religious. They weren't sold out believers like we saw do a public profession of faith tonight in the water. The disciples had been given power to fulfill the promise Jesus had placed on their lives, not because they wanted to make a name for themselves. They were given power because they were in love with Jesus, and they wanted to be as close to him as they possibly could. When we talk about the power of God, and as we anticipate Jesus blessing us with power in our everyday lives, we've got to realize that from these men that we cannot fake the power of God. You can't fake the power of God. You can't fake the anointing of the Holy Spirit. In fact, if we try to fake it, we're not acting like Jesus and being obedient to his instructions. We're acting more like the enemy of our soul than the Savior of the world, because the enemy is who produces counterfeits and fakes it. If we try to produce something that is out of our own flesh, man, God's going to see that it's not real. There was a cultural norm being produced in Paul and the disciples. Get this, the gospel was their message, and their culture was beginning to label them as powerful people. So many signs and wonders and displays of the power of the Holy Spirit even caused the Roman government to legalize Christianity because it was an undeniable power source that it seemed to possess. So these guys, the seven sons of Sceva, said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. And the demonic presence said, Jesus I know, Paul I've heard of, but who are you? You're a fake. And so they thought that there was power in a label, but the power does not come from a label. It comes from walking in relationship with Jesus Christ. These guys teach us tonight that trying to live a Christian life with only a label will only get you beat up and embarrassed. If, yes, you can say I'm a Christian because it's cool, but if you try to do something when all you're doing is putting up a front, it's going to get you embarrassed. Because God is not going to be mocked. He knows the condition of our hearts. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that these guys took a name brand and tried to make it their own. I'm saying it's easy to say I'm a Christian, but it's completely different to, it's a different thing to live the Christian life God calls us to in this world. It's easy to say, it's hard to do. The disciples spent years of their lives in devotion to Jesus. They asked him questions like, how do we pray, Lord? They fasted. They gave up everything to live for him. They left their family. They left their businesses that were lucrative. They walked with him. They talked with him. They watched him ascend literally into heaven. They watched it as he went into heaven. And an angel said, don't worry, guys, stop looking up because he'll come soon enough. And he's going to save the world when he does. They watched it. They believed what they preached. They were not superficial. They weren't Christians by labels. They were Christians in the core of who they were. These Jews, the seven sons of Sceva, were not disciples. They just heard cool stories and wanted to get a hold of the power that they were hearing about. But the supernatural demonic presence said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I've heard of. Who are you? You've heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again because it's so true. Real life, prayerless Christians are powerless Christians. Prayerless Christians are powerless Christians. God continues to ask me to call us to a higher level in our walk with him tonight. If you're not daily in your word, if you're not daily asking him to grow closer and to get deeper with him, if you're not seeking him for your needs, if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, everything else is not going to be added unto you. But Matthew 6:33, Jesus himself promised us, if we seek him, we'll find him, and he'll give us all that we need. But if we don't even pray, man, we can't expect God to show up. Man, we should be locking ourselves in our rooms when we're anxious and frustrated and scared about what tomorrow's going to bring. And we should get into our word where it says, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough worries on its own. I'm going to take care of you. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you should turn on a worship set and start lifting your voice to heaven, because that's where true power begins to be unlocked in our lives. That's where he sees the condition of your heart. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be going after him. And so they weren't disciples, they just heard. It's easy to raise our hand and say, I want the free gift of salvation that Jesus offers. It's hard to live like Christ and deny yourself daily, to pick up your cross daily. It's easy to wear a label. It's another thing to represent something that's much bigger than us. Man, please hear your pastor's heart tonight. We cannot expect to have power because of someone else's relationship with Jesus. You can't expect to have the supernatural happen just because I have an anointed word. You've got to have the anointing for yourself. You've got to have a relationship for yourself. These men tried to use someone else's relationship with Jesus, and it failed. As I close tonight, and I invite the band to come, I want to show you how the power of the Holy Spirit originally was given to the disciples. I want to say to you, it's so simple, and it's so profound at the same time. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. I've come tonight to help you understand that unity unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit. Unity unlocks the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is a reason why we are reached with the love of God, and then we encourage everyone to engage in Christian community. It's not enough just to say, yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus has called us to be a family. He's called us to come together. Something happens when we all lift up our voice together. Something supernatural begins to take place when we all come to this altar and begin to cry out to God for supernatural things to happen. Something shifts in the atmosphere when everybody gets focused in on what I'm saying, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak to our spirits and the depths of who we are. When all of us are engaged, because power is unleashed through unity, it's so simple. They were all together in one place. And it's that simple. Sometimes being in the right place at the right time is all you need to encounter the presence of God. This is why we emphasize how important it is for us to engage in Christian community. And this is why we have got to stop backstabbing. This is why we have to stop the gossip. This is why we've got to stop the negativity in the group texts. This is why you've got to stop sending the private messages that are humiliating to other people and condescending and cutting one another down, because it tears the unity apart, which stops and prevents the power of God from being released. We've got to stop it. Because if we actually love one another, and if we do it together as a family, I promise you the power of God will be released in our personal lives, but it will also be released in this ministry to cause us to be a revival center. It will cause us, if we're so, Jesus said, this is how they're going to know that you're my disciples, your love for one another. Because when we love one another unconditionally, when we forgive one another, even when they don't ask for forgiveness, that's when people begin to look and say, I want what they've got. I don't understand it, but I want it. It doesn't make any sense, but I wish I had that. Power gets released from unity. And the story continues. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house. God, I'm praying that happens in the next few moments, that the Holy Spirit of God would just sweep into this room and just take over everything that's about to happen. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them, every person in this room has the ability to function in the power of the Holy Spirit if you're open to it. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I want to invite you to stand tonight in this holy moment. Please don't be a distraction. Let's focus on what God wants to do. I want to say one more time, when God did this in Acts chapter 2, it was not weird. It was supernatural. It wasn't weird, it was supernatural. The entire community saw what was happening, and they heard their own language being spoken, and it resulted in thousands of people being saved because the power of God was undeniable. It wasn't weird, it was supernatural. And Jesus told the disciples, he said, I'm leaving. He said, it's good that I leave, because another one is going to come to empower you. You will be my witnesses from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the outermost parts of the world. So he said, go to Jerusalem and wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Don't leave until it happens. And I'm here tonight. So the first principle of receiving the Holy Spirit is unity. But the second, God sent his power and displayed the gifts of the Holy Spirit to his disciples in the upper room, because obeying what Jesus says and trusting him at his word is what unlocks the power of the Spirit in our lives. I'll say it again. Obeying what Jesus says and trusting him at his word is what unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So tonight, with every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you're in this room tonight and you'd say to yourself, Pastor, if I ever encountered something that was stronger and scarier than I am, and if I ever tried to invoke the name of Jesus like these men tried to do, in the name of Jesus by Paul, what Paul preaches, I rebuke you, come out. Maybe you're in this room tonight and you'd say, Pastor, if I tried to do that right now in this moment, man, all of hell would look at me and say, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but I don't know you, because you're far from God and you don't have a relationship with him. All that can change in a moment. All that can change in an instant. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and turn from your wicked ways and repent and go a different direction with your life. And the Bible is clear that he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And then in that moment, in that instant, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.